Seattle Biodiesel was formed by myself in early 2004 to address the local demand for biodiesel here in the Seattle metro area. Seattle has the highest per capita usage of biodiesel in the nation out of any city, and certainly the highest percentage of high blend or 99.9% biodiesel in personal vehicles. Recognizing that opportunity, I started Seattle Biodiesel with my own funds through sort of a traditional entrepreneurial mortgage your house and take out your retirement plan and sink it into a big sinking hole of a company, and built what is now Seattle Biodiesel, 5 million a gallon a year production facility. Through that, I started gathering partners, employees, a variety of opportunities presented themselves that made us acknowledge the fact that first, Seattle Biodiesel was not nearly big enough to meet the demand both on a citywide basis as well as a regional basis and even worldwide, and that there was opportunities elsewhere. So out of Seattle Biodiesel grew Imperium Renewables. And Imperium Renewables is now basically the parent company, and Seattle Biodiesel is a wholly owned subsidiary of Imperium Renewables.
And what is the mission of Imperium Renewables?
So Imperium Renewables' intent is to be the leading renewable energy company, both in the nation and in the world, starting with biodiesel. We anticipate with our business model that we can be the largest single producer of biodiesel in the United States by the end of 2008, with our plan to produce large-scale production facilities. Currently, we're building Imperium Grays Harbor. That's about 3 months into construction. It's the nation's largest biodiesel plant in Grays Harbor, Washington, 100 million gallons a year of capacity. And we have sort of plans to build other production facilities that size in other locales, and we're in site development for that. And we recognize that there is a demand for the product, a need for a new energy in both the United States and around the world, and that biodiesel is a significant part of that new alternative energy demand and capability that is sought after really by companies, countries, regions around the world.
In addition to biodiesel, you are investigating other forms of energy as well?
We look at other forms of energy. First, we're going to focus on biodiesel production facilities. Then probably the next step is to innovate around the feedstock itself. In other words, biodiesel uses vegetable oils from both the United States and Canada, as well as other locations around the world. And there are opportunities to develop new oilseed crops and new oilseed plants to further increase the yield per acre production of basic agricultural commodities. And we feel it's important to vertically integrate backwards into the feedstock development.
Tell me, what is biodiesel?
So biodiesel is a one-for-one replacement for petroleum diesel that has been ran through a manufacturing process to take basic vegetable oil, split off about 10% of it, which is called glycerin, and replace that with methanol. The specific name for biodiesel is actually methyl ester. In other words, it's part methanol and part ester, which is a basic component of a triglyceride. So we manufacture vegetable oil into a fuel in a chemical process.
And how is it different than ethanol?
Ethanol is an alcohol-based fuel that is a replacement, not a one-for-one replacement, but a replacement for gasoline and gasoline-powered cars, whereas biodiesel is a one-for-one replacement for diesel vehicles. So basically, it's the other version of renewable fuels. We use about 20 to 25% of our transportation energy in the United States comes from diesel, and most sort of large equipment that moves either people or goods is powered by diesel engines. And we use about 63 billion gallons of diesel in the United States. That's about 20% of our petroleum usage. And that diesel can be replaced with a alternative fuel, biodiesel, made from vegetable oil.
And what type of crop are you using to create your biodiesel?
Currently, the most plentiful crop on the planet is soybean oil. 40% of the world's vegetable oil supply is soybean oil. The United States is the largest producer of soybeans. We grow about 73 million acres of soybeans. The soybeans are grown more for the dry meal that's crushed. When you have a soybean, you crush it through a crushing process and you expel the oil out, and that's almost a byproduct of the main market, which is the meal, which has high protein value for animal feed, for human consumption, for many of the soy proteins that we see in our diet. The oil is a byproduct of that. That is used for food and for a variety of food resources, but also has industrial markets for it, such as paint or ink for laser jets and those sort of things. So we're also an industrial user of a surplus of a main crop that we grow here in the United States.
Is that plant the best producer of oil? I mean, I was under the impression that algae actually produces a better oil.
You're exactly right. Soy oil is actually the lowest oil yielding per acre plant that we grow on a commercial scale. So it's not the ideal crop for energy. It is what we currently have available. There is a surplus. It's economically viable to use. It's enough to get the industry started. But as a company competing against petroleum, we have to focus on the next generation of feedstocks. And certainly algae is one of those. Algae traditionally has not been grown for energy consumption. It's grown in small amounts for human consumption, such as spirulina and others. But the potential for, one could say, increased value per acre or better land management or a reduced environmental footprint is to really develop and commercialize large algae production facilities. And that does change the economics of the industry in a massive scale, and it's really the direction we think that's proper to go in.
And are you pursuing it?
We're definitely investigating which firms and what technologies are out in algae and looking to see if there's an opportunity to partner or to invest as a company, absolutely.
What are the benefits to the environment and local economies and national security?
There are a variety of benefits all throughout that chain, from an emissions profile. Total emissions on a one-for-one is about 67% less emissions using biodiesel than traditional petroleum diesel. It's 73% less CO2 or greenhouse gas emitting. It is zero cancer-causing carcinogens or particulates that come out of diesel, and a variety of others that there's a long list of. From an economic scale, the industry has just presented a paper that talks about the economic benefits of subsidizing a homegrown fuel. For example, the biofuels industry is subsidized by the federal government, such as the petroleum industry is. For biodiesel, there's a dollar a gallon excise tax credit available to the middle distributor that distributes the product from a biodiesel producer to the customer. That, in an effort, lowers the cost to the customer to a dollar a gallon less. They equate that dollar into the economic sort of stream back into America. For every dollar that the federal government subsidizes biodiesel, $2.5 of economic value is created from that due to the retaining of that economic stream, creating more market for the farming community, for the transportation community, for the local petroleum distributor to offset petroleum by using a homegrown fuel.
I imagine one of the challenges is the price at the pump, which is about 75 cents more right now than regular fuel.
Actually, that's very much a regional price difference. Currently in Seattle, the price difference is 20 cents. In other words, diesel is about $2.95 and biodiesel is about $3.15. You have to sort of look at this in a threefold perception. One, the public at large has to have the vehicle choices available. We don't actually have a whole lot of diesel choices available like they do in Europe, but that's starting to change. By 2015, it's estimated that diesels will be about 15% of the market. Currently, they're less than 1% for passenger vehicles. Two, there has to be distribution. That's starting to change. We're starting to see more distribution. But three, the economics and economy of diesel far outweighs that of gasoline. For example, Volkswagen Jetta is one of the most popular biodiesel use vehicles available to the consumer. a gasoline Jetta, about $22,000, gets about 35 miles to the gallon, and you can drive on gasoline and pick it up anywhere you want and still emit all the greenhouse gases. A diesel Jetta that is right out of the factory, ready to run biodiesel, no change required, gets about 55 miles to the gallon. It's about $23,500, so about a $1,500 premium. But you get a massive increase. On average, diesel is about 30% more efficient than gasoline. So you add that efficiency of increased mileage against the offset of higher fuel costs. Now you have the same fuel cost due to the efficiency increase, but yet you're not emitting any greenhouse gases relatively in comparison, so 73% less. In comparison to petroleum, you've changed the economics, you're keeping dollars at home, and it's not costing the consumer anymore due to the efficiencies of diesel. And biodiesel and diesel are the same efficiency, whereas ethanol is about a 30% reduction in efficiency.
Put that in context for Grays Harbor's promise.
Grays Harbor is being built for both a contractual demand as well as a renewable fuel standard demand here in Washington, also with the support and required use from a governmental fleet standpoint. In other words, our local bus system is using biodiesel from Seattle Biodiesel. The local marine industry is using biodiesel. There's a required demand from the renewable fuel standard that we passed as a state of 2%. There's a contractual demand long term from a large customer. And then there is the local fleets that are requesting to change their fuel economic model to be less dependent on single source and more dependent on environmentally friendly, as well as a large number of consumers that are using their economic dollar to purchase a diesel vehicle and use biodiesel. So demand really is continuing to grow even with current petroleum and diesel prices.
And do you think a Democratic Congress coming in at the beginning of 2007 will help your industry?
Absolutely. I think the recent election highlighted the desire of the American public to change our society and to change the direction that we're going. And there are a variety of things that they look for change, but renewable energy, renewable fuels is really at the top of the forefront of that conversation due to its economic benefit, its environmental benefit, reducing greenhouse gases and global warming, as well as really the political reasons for some of our actions, such as the war in Iraq. The most popular biodiesel sticker we see in Seattle is biodiesel, no war required. And I think that all sort of fits in together to be a very politically interesting hot topic for the population.
There's a lot of alternative fuels out there, ethanol, cellulosic ethanol, hydrogen, hybrids, plug-in hybrids. Do you think there's going to be, quote-unquote, a winner out of it all, or is it going to be an economy using a variety of alternative fuels?
Well, I think that's an important part to stress, and we can talk about the benefits of biodiesel, but the first point that I'd like to make is that we made the mistake of single-source energy dependence from carbon, such as petroleum or natural gas, really as our silver bullet to all our problems. But look at the problems it's created. If we take that approach and look for a single energy source for all our issues, we're doing ourselves a disservice. I think we need conservation. Why are we not striving for better economies within our vehicles? China has stronger conservation or CAFE standards than we do. Why are we not doing more in those realms? How about diesel hybrids instead of gasoline hybrids? The technology is there. The desire is there. Imagine a diesel hybrid. Smart cars building a diesel hybrid that they're saying will get over 100 miles a gallon. Imagine that. You could run it on biodiesel at 100 miles a gallon. So, you know, there are a variety of energy streams that we need to be doing more. Look at geothermal, the potential there. The planet is providing us energy. We have to learn how to harness it smartly. Biodiesel, and certainly to a greater extent currently, but hopefully not long-term, ethanol is a part of that. Current ethanol production obviously is stage one of a much bigger picture, such as cellulosic, and that's, I think, an exciting opportunity for the ethanol industry, which we feel is complementary to biodiesel, not competitive. Hydrogen, There's a lot of excitement around hydrogen. There are still a lot of issues left to be resolved, and I think with technology and time, we can resolve those. The need to reduce our carbon footprint is now. Biodiesel offers the simplest, fastest, most economical way currently to reduce our carbon footprint for diesel consumption, whether it's in a vehicle for your home use or a truck that hauls your groceries or a bus that hauls your school kids. And the energy balance in life cycle analysis is a topic that I think is worth touching on as well, in that biodiesel has the best life cycle or energy balance out of all of the other alternatives. And hydrogen is actually upside down. It requires more energy to produce hydrogen than what you get out of it. Ethanol is a little bit better than a one-for-one. Biodiesel is about a three-for-one. And that's due to the whole life cycle of the crop itself, the meal that goes into animal feed and human consumption, the amount of energy required, the solar radiation that helps the plant grow. So biodiesel certainly offers a variety of benefits. The most important to myself as the founder and as the company and the growth that we see, it's the fastest way available to reduce greenhouse gases and global warming and to change the economic structure of energy as we know it.
And what can we expect in 2007 and 2008 for Imperium Renewables?
I think that we will have Imperium Grays Harbor online in June of 07, nation's largest biodiesel plant producing biodiesel. You'll see some more announcements about additional facilities and potentially, hopefully, if we can find the right partners, some new developments in algae and alternative feedstocks to what we currently use.
And your final thoughts on the alternative fuel space?
I think it's an amazing opportunity for both the nation and the world to recognize we don't have to accept the status quo of petroleum usage, natural gas usage, nuclear power. Renewables, through the progress and development of a nation and as an industry with proper leadership, can be a significant source of energy for the world that changes our energy perspective for the better, for the farming community, for the usage, for the consumer of the fuel, and businesses such as ours and regions such as ours. It's an amazing opportunity for us to look at ourselves and say, we're doing something that's economically viable, environmentally friendly, and sustainable for the long run.
John Plaza, creator of Seattle Biodiesel and head of Imperium Renewables, thanks for being on the podcast.
You bet. Thank you.
In Los Angeles, I'm Matt Kelly.